Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Please let me know if you're able to hear me. I'm not sure. We've got two formats working this morning. I'm so glad to be here with you. Please let me know if you're able to hear by sending a text or saying something that we can know that you are here. Amen. 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 All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your name, God. Bless your name, God. Bless your name, Father. Father God. Yes, God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for this time in your presence, Lord God. We thank you, Father, for all things that you have said and that you have done in this season. And Lord God, Father, I thank you, Father, that even right now in the midst of everything that's going on in this world, your hand has never left us, nor has your hand forsaken us. So, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we just bless you. We give you glory and we give you honor. We thank you, Father, that you are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the beginning. You are the end. And Lord God, we thank you that we are in your hands. And Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, that we are your creation. And Father, we know that you love your creation. So, Father God, we thank you for the love that is going forth right now. We thank you, Father, for the protection and the provision for your people. Father, you said in your word that I've never seen the righteousness forsaken nor his seed beg for bread. And Lord God, we thank you that God right now, that God, our whole honor, our whole praise, our whole well-being is all about you. So Father, we lift you up. We give you glory. We give you praise and we give you honor. We thank you right now. So Father God, at the sound of my voice, I speak God healing, restoration, and deliverance to everyone, Father, everyone that is at the sound of my voice. God, you said in your word that by your stripes, we are healed and made whole. So, Lord God, thank you, Father, that you are restoring your people from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, that you are doing a work, you are doing a miraculous thing in us. For, Father, you loved us. We are your creation, and you care about every pain, every ailment, every sickness, and every disease. So, Father God, right now, meet the very need of your people. Meet the very need, God, that they are crying out for. Father, we thank you that your ears are always turned and tuned in to the very thing that you have ordained. Because your ears are tuned in to the people that praise you and serve you and love you. So, Father, we thank you that we are not forsaken. We are not forgotten about. We are not cast down. We are not destroyed. But God, we are living in the midst of your people, your division. We are living in the midst of adversity. We are still thriving in the midst of the enemy trying to destroy us and to tear us down and to talk about our names. But Lord God, your people are rising up and calling you blessed because of the fact you are a gracious God. You have been the apple of our eye. You have been our very existence. And Father, you never left us or nor have you forsaken us, but you have drawn yourself near to us. So Father God, right now, this morning, we command right now that our spirits be destroyed, God, that our spirits be humbled, our spirits be brought down, Father, that we may be able, God, to allow your glory to be revealed right now. Father God, we thank you. We thank you. We want you to come into this room right now. We want you to come into the presence right now. Father God, sit and dwell in the presence of your people. Father God, in the name of Jesus, come into the room. Make yourself known. Make yourself ready. Make yourself available. We come right now. We come humbly before you, Lord. And we, Lord, allow you to come and sit with us again. Can allow you to come and fellowship with us again. We allow you to come, Father, and meet us again, so that, Father God, that anything, anything in our hearts or anything in our minds can be brought before you. Lord God, look into the very crevice and the essence of our heart. Look into our very own existence. Look into our minds. Look into our soul. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, anything that's not pleasing or desirous of you, we ask right now by the authority of Jesus Christ that you remove it from us, that you
go into the very crevice, the very corners, and the very sinews of our well-being. And Father God, any iniquity or any sin or any transgression or anything that was going to cause the body of Christ harm or anything that's going to keep us from your presence, Lord God, we ask that you remove it now, that you destroy it now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that your hand your hand, Father, your word, God, is a two-edged sword that is dividing us from the sinews, dividing out those places and those plots of things that are not desirous, those things that we don't need, those things that's not conducive to our assignment. But Lord God, you are cutting those things out of us right now. So Father God, as you are getting us ready, you're making room for you to reign and making room for you to rule, as you're getting us ready for this next season of our lives, for this next dispensation, Father God, we receive your correction, we receive your chastisement, we receive your discipline, Father. We receive everything that you have desired for us to be. So Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come, me myself personally, as your servant, as your manservant, I come, God, humbly before you, and I ask, God, that you begin to look upon my soul, look upon my spirit, and if there's nothing, Father, that is reflecting your glory and reflecting your character, reflecting the character or the patrimony or the essence of Jesus Christ, I ask, God, that you begin to bring it to my attention and remove it right now. For God, it's not my will, but it's your will that shall be done. It's not my desire, God, but it's your desire. It's not my plan, God, but it's your plan, Father. It is your will, your purpose, and your plan. Because, Father, we just want to lift you up. We just want to give you glory. We just want to praise your name. We just want to lavish you with praise. We just want to be in your presence. We just want to give you all the glory. We just want you to be magnified. We want you to be lifted up. We want you to be expanded. We want your name to go across the nations. When they see us, God, let them see you. When they hear us, God, let them hear you. When we act, God, let them see your act. When we love, Father, let them feel your love. And Father, we want to be genuine. We want to be pure. So Father God, we thank you. So Father God, everything up to this time, God, thank you for the fresh breath of the anointing that's coming forth. Thank you for the fresh wind and move of the gospel that's about to be preached to every nation, to every man. And Father, as you begin to equip us and you begin to begin to make us what you desire for us to be, Father God, we thank you. We magnify your name. We magnify your grace. We give you all honor. We give you all praise. We come into the room of our existence, this existence of our own will and our own plan. And Lord God, we give up that room. We give up that space. We give up anything that we have created. We give that up and we allow you to take over. We allow you to take over the crevice of our hearts, the crevice of our minds, the crevice of our whole soul and our attitude. God, you reign, you rule, and you get the glory. Take over, God, lead and guide our families. Use us, Father, that we may be the example of holiness to them. In the name of Jesus, let us be that example. Let us be that what you have called. Let us be the very essence of what you are calling out for this nation. For God, we know that you are looking for a church without spot or wrinkle. And Lord God, let us fix our spots right now. Let us get ourselves ready for the bridegroom to come. Let us get our minds and our spirit in tune. Father, let us not be distracted or moved by every winded doctrine. But Lord God, let us keep our eyes on you. Let us keep our ears to hear your voice. Let us keep our hearts ready for to see the manifestations of the word that is about to be manifest. Lord God, we thank you. 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 Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. We praise your name. Father, I just want to worship you. Father, I just want to praise you. I just want to give you glory. I just want to give you honor. Oh God, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Father. I thank you. I thank you. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. God, Father, I thank you. Lord God, you've been so good to us. You have been, oh God, you have been awesome. You have been making a way out of no way. You have moved every obstacle in our path, and you have showed us the way. You have showed us your glory. You have, your hand has moved upon our behalf. And Father God, I thank you. I have every reason to give you praise. I have every reason to give you glory. And Father, right now, I lift up my hands in total adoration, Father. For God, you reign on the throne, that you are God and you are God alone. And God, my cloudy days are gone, and I have the strength, Father, to sing this song. I just want to say that I just love you more than anything. I love you more. We love you more. We love you more. We love you more than anything. We love you more than the very breath that we breathe. We love you more than our own sanctity, Father. Father God, if we got to lose our mind just to understand and to gain you, so let it be, Father. Let it take place, God. If we have to lose everything that we own or everything that we have as a material possession, so let it be, God, because we don't want nothing to come in between you and us, God. We don't want nothing to steal our joy and to steal our heart. For what you have given us is more than enough, God. It's more than treasures. It's more than rubies. It's more than diamonds. But just the very essence of loving us and giving us our identity is greatly appreciated, Father. We appreciate it. We appreciate it. We give you honor and we thank you. We thank you, Father. We thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah to the kings of kings. Glory, hallelujah to the Alpha and the Omega. Glory. We thank you. We thank you. We lift you up. We magnify your most holy and precious name. Hey, God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. My God, my God, my God. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, God. I thank you. I lift you up and I give you praise. I thank you. I thank you, Father. Hey, Rabo Saka Shendebe Robo Sika. Thank you, God. And Father, right now, Father God, heal your people. Father God, whatever the infirmity is, I speak healing upon them now. I speak right now that their body comes into alignment with the purpose and the plan and the will that you have. I speak by the glory and the authority of Jesus Christ, that Lord God, that your blood is a healing power. And Father, I thank you that the blood of Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross is now healing the body right now. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father, we just believe in faith, covenant, agreement that God has, according to your word, that by your stripes he is made whole and she is made new. We speak restorative healing upon them now. I speak by the mercies and the glory of God that there be a supernatural work that's going to take place in their lives. I believe, Father, that every ailment, every joint, every pain, every sinew, we speak the word of God over it and let the balm of Gilead cover and heal right now. Father God, from the top of their heads to the sole of their feet, Father, you push out any infirmity right now. You push out anything that's not lined up with the word of God. You push out, God, what you have discerned and seen. Father God, that iniquity and that sin, that place where Satan has tried to trap your people, we come and stand in faith, covenant, agreement with it now by the authority of Jesus Christ. And we command healing for the human body. We command healing, Father, to take place. We command healing right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, we come against the spirit of depression. We cancel the assignment of the enemy. We come against vain imaginations right now by the authority of Jesus Christ. And we come against the spirit spirit of suicide. I break the yoke right now by the authority of Jesus Christ. For who the Son has set free, they shall be free indeed. And we thank you that the Christ, that God on the cross, that we may be free in him, that we may be free to serve, free to worship. So we have not, we are not destined for hell, but we have the ability to have everlasting life through Jesus Christ. And Father God, I thank you for the healing. I thank you for the healing. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father God, I come against every mind-blowing, mind-blinding spirit. I come against every distraction of the enemy. I come against every struggle, stronghold, and demonic attack. We stand right now in faith of agreement, and we stand flat-footed, and we decree and declare that no weapon formed against your people shall prosper. We decree and declare that we are the righteousness of God, that their hands of Satan cannot touch us, for we are covered and protected by him. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Glory. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. I just want to worship you, God. I just want to worship you, God. I just want to worship you, God. I just want to worship you in the name of Jesus. I just want to worship you. I just want to worship you, God. Your love, God. Your love, your love, your love, your love, Father. Your love is moving upon us. Your love is moving, moving in my direction. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Father. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. My God, my God, my God, my God, my God, glory. Bless your name. 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 Bless your name, God. Thank you, Father. Father, I come against every technical difficulty right now. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to figure it out, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Glory. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Yes, Father. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Glory. Yes, God. Glory, hallelujah. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for doing it again, God. Thank you for doing it again. And Father God, we lift up Nicole right now. We lift up our family member's sister. We lift them up, right? We thank you, Father. We thank you. We thank you, Father. We lift them up. We thank you, God. Father God, touch your people. God, touch your people. Let us not have any type of iniquity or any type of hatred. But Lord God, we choose to forgive right now. We choose to forgive and we choose to allow your grace and your mercy to take place. We thank you, Father, that even in the midst of all that takes place right now, that Lord God, we stand in faith covenant agreement with everything that is about to take place. We stand in faith covenant agreement right now. We thank you. We thank you. We honor you. We praise you. And we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your miraculous move Thank you, God, for your miraculous work, the handiwork of your people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. My God. Glory, hallelujah. Praise God. 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 Yes, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
I will bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy. Name, and I will bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless ye. Holy name.
Yes, God. Yes, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God, for blessing through even through technical difficulties. Thank you, Father, for blessing. Blessing right now. Blessing right now. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Father, I just thank you. I thank you. I just give you honor and glory. I give you honor and I give you glory. I praise your holy name. For you are our Redeemer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Just spend some time just giving God worship, giving him praise, giving him honor, thanking him for all that he is doing and done. I thank you that he is in the midst of us. Even right now, he is in the midst of us. And he's moving by his Spirit. He's moving by his Spirit. And I'm so grateful to know that this God that we serve is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. And the thing about it is the interesting part about it is according to the power that worketh within us. And if we really want to think about that, to me, it shows me that there is a requirement, there is a level of trust, there's a level of activity that I am required to do for to activate the work that God has desired over our lives. This morning, I pray that you will begin to activate the work that God has inquired for you. He will never leave us nor forsake us, but he has already given us everything that we need to do what he has desired. It's up to us now to trust and obey. Amen. To trust and obey. Come on and give God some praise. Come and give God some glory. I hope that you're able to hear me clearly. We had a little bit of technical difficulties on the line, but I just want to thank you for coming in this morning. You could have gone and been anywhere else, but I'm so glad that God has saw fit that you would be here. I'm so glad that God found a way to put it on your mind, to put it on your soul, and to put it in your spirit to join us for this time in your presence. And I just want to thank you this morning for making us your priority. I just want to thank you. And it's not even us, it's about him. I just want to thank you for being tuned to want to hear and to know what thus saith the Lord. And this morning, I pray that God begin to continually lead and guide us so that we may always display his glory and his power and his commission that he has for us. And I just want to give God praise just because he has been so good. Amen. Welcome to the RTRMI Morning Worship Service. I'm so grateful to be here today because I do believe that God has a word for us today. I do believe that it's not by chance, it's not by circumstance that you are here, but God has divinely set fit to make sure that he woke you up this morning and to make sure that you were able to see the blessings of God in existence today. Amen. 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 God is doing something in our lives. He is doing something in our spirits. He is doing something in our souls. And if we are not sensitive to what God is desiring and what God is doing, we will miss out on so much that he has desired for us, that he's already made a plan, he's already made a way. We will miss out on so much, so many things that it would basically blow our minds on if we were able to see all that he has desired. So I said to myself, I don't want to miss God in this season. I don't want to miss the things that he's doing. I don't want to take for granted this time, take for granted the things that are taking place as we come into whatever it is that God has desired for us to come into. I want to make sure that I am always constantly doing what I need to do. I want to make sure that I'm always constantly making sure if he desires that he begins to show me the mysteries of his gospel. And I'm just so grateful that I have the opportunity to stand here or to be here and to be before you. I know that so many things, and we always say this in our lives, that, you know, so many things have been to the point where there have been an inconvenience. But now there also have been some conveniences that has been taking place. And it's not in line with my message in a sense, but I just want to talk with you for a few seconds. But God has basically allowed that we have the ability, even though the world has gone through so many different things and so many things have shifted and changed and so many things have realigned themselves. But God has saw fit that we are able to still do what he is requiring for us to do in a different way. And that's just the fellowship. So I am grateful. Yes, I am grateful to God for all that he is doing and he has done. And I do not take it for granted. I do not take it for granted. And I pray and hope that we'll forever have the opportunity to take advantage of what God is doing, that we'll be able to do our assignments to do what he has called, to do what he has purposed while we still have time. Amen. So I'm so glad and grateful to be here today. I'm so glad that you're able to join us to this podcast. I bless each and every one of you that are here. I'm so grateful that you decided to come on this morning. And I pray that God has a word. I believe that God has a word for you today. Amen. 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 Before we do, give me one moment. I know that we're having a little bit of a technical difficulty trying to make sure that everybody's able to hear. A few things have gotten. I do apologize for the inconvenience, but I wanted to make sure that, you know, we're able to make sure things are done clearly, decently, and in order so that the word of God can be preached or be taught or be sent out in the best way. Amen. 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 Please give me one moment. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, amen. Praise God. I'm so glad to see you today. And today I believe that God has something special. So let's go and get right into this word that I believe that God has. If you would turn your Bibles or turn your tablets or whatever it is that you have or whatever means of looking at the word that you're able to use, if you would turn with me to 1 Samuel, and we're going to read a few things, and I'm going to talk about a few things. But actually, I'm sorry, let's go and do this. We're going to kind of jump down a little bit. Let's go to 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter, 1st through the 17th verse, and then we're going to come back up to 2 Samuel. 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter, 1st through the 17th verse. The other scripture that we'll probably go into actually, I do apologize. 2 Timothy. I'll change that. Let's go on. God has leading me in a different direction. Amen. Praise God. Y'all bear with me. Change that. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry. 3rd chapter, 7th through the 18th. That is 2 Corinthians, 3rd chapter, 7th through the 18th. Thank you, Lord, for the leading and the guiding. 2 Corinthians, I apologize. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians, 3rd chapter, 7th through the 18th verse. And I know God must be doing something powerful because I've always tried to allow God to lead and guide us or lead and guide me when I have to teach or preach or whatever the case may be. And if he decides to change things around, so be it. We're going to roll with it. Amen. But so 2 Corinthians, 3rd chapter, 7th through the 18th verse, and it reads as this, and I'm reading from a different version, but it says that now if the ministry of death, 7th verse, now if the ministry of death carved in letters on stone came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of his glory, which has and was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, then the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. 10th verse. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will what is permanent have glory. Number 12, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. 13, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end, but their minds were hardened. For this day, when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, Whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And I want you to mark this or highlight this in your study. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. I'm going to read that again. And in your Bible, it may say that we are going from glory to glory. But it says again, 18, and we all with unveiled faces, or unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now, I want you to, if you can, jump over to your Old Testament, and I want you to go to 1 Samuel, 2nd chapter, 19th through the 21st verse. 1 Samuel, 2nd chapter, 19th through the 21st verse. Say it again. 1 Samuel, 2nd chapter, 19th through the 21st verse. Praise God. I'm excited about what's about to take place. And 1 Samuel 2:19 reads thus, and this is the King James Version. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and bought it to him from year to year, when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. The child Samuel grew before the Lord. Amen. I want you to write down on your notepad or note thing or whatever you're taking, or the title of this sermon is today. Is entitled Get Ready for the Upgrade. I'm going to say that again because that just resonated with me. Get ready for the upgrade. Get ready for the upgrade. Now, in our passage of scripture, we find Hannah in a predicament or a situation, as it speaks of in 2 Samuel. We see Hannah preparing basically doing something that it seems familiar to us. You see, the scripture that is talking about displays this woman that each year or each season or each quarter or each semester or every time, her and her husband go forth and they begin to go to pay their taxes for the year. Now, if we've ever read 1 Samuel, if you were to go back into the scripture, and I suggest that you do, I suggest that in your time of study that you begin to take these scriptures that I'm giving you, and sometimes I may just highlight on some things, or any preacher may just highlight on some things, but it's meant for you to go back in your own personal time, your own time that you have, to really go and study to show thyself approved, but not only to show thyself approved, but also to prove what you have been shown. Amen. So I encourage you to go back into 1 Samuel and read some of the things that I'm going to really try to paint a picture for you with in order to give us into the bring us into the understanding of what I believe God is saying for us today. But first of all, you have to understand that this woman Hannah was one that was a wife to her husband, and her husband had other wives. But Hannah was barren in her womb, and she went to the temple and prayed for God Pray for God to send her a son. Pray for God to bless her and to make her gracious befund upon the woman, because in her circumstances or in her situation or her surroundings, she was being ridiculed and being picked on and being talked about because she was not able to do something that would bring her glory or would capture the love of her husband. She was not able to bear children or to bear a seed. She was not able to bring forth a son or a daughter for that matter. But in that time and in their customs and in their rituals, the husband would have more than one wife. He would have other women that would be committed to him. And he was able to have children with all the other wives, but Hannah was that one that even though she was loved by him and she was favored and she got a greater portion and she had the eye of her husband, she was constantly wrestling with the fact that she could not bear children. I'm going somewhere with this. And because of that, she went to the temple. She went to the Lord and began to pray. And the prophet of the temple at that time, which would have been Eli, basically saw her as she was interceding and going in for the Lord. And I believe that now, if we look at it and if we understand that, we'll find that many times you'll find people when there is a pressing need and when there is a pressing matter, they go in to the temple, they go into prayer, and they begin to put their petitions before God, and they begin to cry out, and with every fiber of their heart and every fiber of their being, ask God to move on their behalf. And Hannah was that one that was asking God to move on her behalf. She was that one that was wanting to have a child so that she can gain the love and the favor of a husband. And she was getting ridiculed, like I said before. So she went to the temple and began to pray. And it was praying in such a fervent way that it almost seems as though as she was muttering and bringing her petitions known, that it may have came out as if she was maybe had a situation or she was maybe drunk or under some type of influence, but it was just because she had a petition. It may have seemed like that she was just rolling around and just being out of order. So when the prophet or when the priest came into the temple, he noticed her and noticed the fervency of what she was doing, and he couldn't understand exactly what she was saying. He couldn't understand exactly what she was doing, but he knew that there was something about this woman, whereas she was committed about what she was saying. And as it all begins to come out, his first thought was that, okay, this woman is drunk. She must be under the influence. Something must be wrong with her. But as he began to stay there and begin to discern, she began to tell him that I desire to have a child. And the Lord saw fit that the prophet began to prophesy to her and begin to prophesy that she shall be blessed. So as Hannah began to get the word of the Lord, she made a promise and she made a commitment that she said that, God, if you bless me with a child, and I'm paraphrasing, go back and read it. But she said, God, if you bless me with a child, I promise, I give you, it's far beyond a pinky swear. I promise that I will make my son, he will be your priest. I will give him back unto you, Lord. He shall serve you. He shall praise you. He shall give you glory. I will give him back unto you. And so as time goes on, when God blessed her and she bore a son, that son's name was Samuel. And she did not forget about the commitment or the promise that she made. She did not forget about what she had petitioned to the Lord for when he moved. And it's funny that sometimes we have to be careful. I'm going to take a little side note here, but we have to be careful of what we promise the Lord. She promised the Lord that if you bless me with a son, I'm going to take him to the temple and he is going to be used for your glory. Use me, Lord, that I may bring your manservant to fruition, and he shall serve you. He shall praise you. So God honored the request. And now it was time as he began to come of age. Praise God. As he began to come of age, now was the time for her to cash in on the very thing that she promised the Lord that she would do. And so now we find that over the years that Hannah took Samuel to the temple. And Samuel, as we begin to read in 1 Samuel 2nd chapter and further up, starting from the first and now, you see the whole history of everything. But we find that Hannah begins to take Samuel to the temple. And as he goes to the temple, she commits him over to the priest and begins to allow him to start the process to be trained as a prophet, to be trained as a priest, to be trained as a man of God, so that she fulfilled the covenant that she made with God. So as this time comes where we find our text right now, if you look at the life of Samuel, where we come into understanding, where we come into being, is that Samuel was put in a place where he was destined to flourish. He was destined to grow. It was in God's plan. It was in God's purpose. And the interesting part about this was that when Samuel, being of young age, as you read it, Samuel may have been far more excelled than many of those that were qualified or acquired or become of age to do the priestly duties of the temple. But Samuel, it was something special about Samuel. It was something that allowed Samuel to never be stuck into what his age would categorize him as. He would never be stuck into what people would look at him and say and try to discern, but there was an acceleration on him, whereas he would constantly be in a position where he would be far advanced in where he was. And so this was recognized and honored by God, for you had this young boy that was in the temple, and this young boy was doing things that the most young boys didn't have the opportunity to do, or they did not have the ability or the forthwithal or the insight or the thought pattern or the thought process to continually to do the things in decency and in order according to the rituals and the laws of the temple. But Samuel was one that God had ordained to come into a place where even in his own innocence, even in his own age, even in his own girth or his own ability, he was favored by God that he was able to do some of the priestly duties even at an earlier age. Get ready for the upgrade. Get ready for the upgrade. So with all of that going on, I wanted to paint a picture for you so that you would understand what is taking place. Samuel is in a process where he's in a position where he's supposed to be learning. But God saw fit that as he became diligent into it, he began to get moved to the next level. Get moved to the next level. There was another season coming, and Samuel had already outgrew the season that he was in. So we find Hannah, and every year she would come to the temple because she had to go up into that area, to that region, to pay their taxes. So every year she would make sure that she would bring him a coat. She would bring Samuel a coat. And I want you to catch this. I want you to catch the prophetic underlying tone of Hannah. Now, Hannah was considered or identified in some studies as being a prophet. And if you were to read some of the things about Hannah and Hannah's psalm or Hannah's prayer or petitions, you could identify or see some resemblance of the glory in her prayers of some of the things that God had already foretold or foreknew. But Hannah was in tune with the very thing that was taking place in Samuel's life. She identified the fact that my baby is not like many other children. I identified the fact that he seems to be far more advanced than people, not only of his age, but people or men or priests that were far more older than he should have been. So there was something special about him that no matter what his circumstances or his situation, and I say circumstance and situation, so let me paint this picture for you. See, Samuel was being trained by a prophet that had other priests, which therefore would have been his sons. And even in the midst of his training, he was able to see some of the things that was going on in the temple or the church. He was able to see some of the things that were going on and being permissive or being used outside of the purpose and the will of God that was not handled properly. He was able to see some of the priests doing things that they did not have the spiritual license by way of their character or the spiritual unction or the spiritual anointing to do or to be or to have or to move in the priestly duties. Their spirits was not like Samuel's spirit. Their spirits were something that there was something that they did or something that their thought patterns were where they took advantage of their position. But Samuel did not take on that character. Samuel was always preparing for the upgrade. And what am I talking about, the upgrade? It was Samuel was always preparing for the next level. And it's interesting that not only was Samuel looking for the next level, he kind of fell into it. He begins to just do what God was commissioning him to do and do with every fiber of it being of his being. And God accelerated him in a way that it was far, far, far more exceedingly than those that were supposed to be the ones teaching him. So Hannah identified, either by way of the Spirit or just by her own discernment, she identified that where Samuel is going, I must prepare. I must make sure that he has what he needs for the season that he is accelerating in. My God, I must make sure that I, because he is my child, he is my beloved, I got to make sure that I give him the proper vestments and the garments for not just this season, but for the season that he's about to walk into. Now, isn't it interesting that we find this right now, even in this time and in this dispensation, that we are now rolling around, going from store to store, going from places to places, hitting the internet, because right now we can identify with what Hannah is trying to do. And any mother, single mother, or a mother that has a husband, I can identify with you that you are going around now hitting Walmart and hitting Target and hitting the Macy's website, trying to find the proper vestments or clothes for the season that your children are about to walk into. Doesn't it sound familiar that when the time comes that they cannot wear the garments of their past, they cannot wear the garments that are currently in? Because if the truth be told, these kids have been eating and sitting around. They are not in the same stature as they were a few months ago. Their stature has changed. Their stomachs may have gotten a little bigger and their feet have gotten a little wider and their height has gotten a little taller. So now you have to do everything that you can to prepare them so that they don't look like something that is come out of the comic books. You have to prepare and to prepare and to prepare and to make sure that you find what you can that's going to give them the proper garments or vestments for the next season that they're about to walk in. Now, mind you, you don't really understand what's going to take place, because if you think about our world, I'm coming somewhere with this. If you think about what is going on in our lives, what is going on in our world, we do not know if our children is going to just be able to get their learning or their teaching through the internet or if they are going to be able to go to school. But nevertheless, you try to prepare yourself either way. So far more, they will have more than what they need. That, my dear, that, my daughter, that, my son, that, my sister, that, my brother, that is the very identifying factor that we can identify with Hannah. Each year, Hannah measured where Samuel was, and she began to measure his growth. And so for this year, she realized that I'm going to set an expectation. I'm going to set an expectation. I believe that he is going to go farther this season or next season than he had went this last season. And it is evident because the coat that I made for him last year no longer fit. The coat that I made for him 2 years ago no longer fit. So I can use that to my advantage and understand that he is not staying stagnant, nor is he reversing in his learning or his teaching or his growth, but he is excelling, or he is being constantly upgraded so that he can get to the level or the place or the stature where God has ordained him to be. So Hannah has to now prepare, and she has to measure. So if the arm length is, say, for example, 15 inches long, she has to measure 17 inches long. She has to put the extra 2 inches in there. That gives him room to grow. That gives him room to grow in to the season that God has ordained. And likewise, we understand this because many of times we will buy clothes for our children. And I'm just using this as an example. We may sometimes often buy clothes for our children that will be not only the exact size that they are right now, but also it will be a little bit larger getting ready for the room or the advancement or the expansion to come. Getting ready for the upgrade. So we can familiarize ourselves with this. We can familiarize and have a crystal clear picture in our mind of what's taking place. And if you don't have it, I will help you with it. God has desired for each and every one of us to walk into some of the things that he has ordained. In the scripture that we have read, matter of fact, we read it during our Bible study times, going back into Acts. And when all of the people were gathered together on one accord after Christ had left and did and fulfilled his assignment. In Acts 2, 15 and 17, and I'm going to read it to you, and this is the King James Version, for it says that, "For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel," 17, and here it is. "And it shall come to pass that in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams." Shall dream dreams. God is desiring to get us to a place where he has already ordained for us to be. God is getting ready to upgrade your spiritual status. He's getting ready to take you from the very essence of what he has already spoken of in his word. And I want you to understand that you have to get your spirit and get your soul ready for the upgrade. Yes, you have to get yourself ready for the upgrade. What am I saying? Is that you cannot afford to stay stagnant in this time. You cannot afford to let things happen in your life where it does not put you in the proper posture where you are able to go before the Lord and figure out and find out where it is that he has for you to do and where it is he has for you to go. You still cannot afford to sit there and allow yourself to be stuck at the door of salvation. You can't allow yourself to be stuck at the place where you are constantly trying to figure out, how do I get a gripple and a grabble on my sin and temptation? God is desiring for you to upgrade yourself, because we are now in a season that we cannot go back to ever again. We cannot go back to the days of our past when things were certain and things were going on in a certain type of manner or a certain type of way. But now God has forced us to shift and change. It's kind of like what Paul has said, "I know how to abase and I know how to abound." In other words, no matter which way my circumstances or my situation falls, I'm good. No matter if they take it away from me, I've already know how to prepare for it. Don't matter if it comes back to me, I'm good. I've already been trained to know how to deal with it. No matter if it takes me down a few notches, I'm good because of the fact that I know that God will take me from there and bring me higher. And even if I go higher than I ever thought I could, I'm good because of the fact that I know that it's by God's doing that he takes me to where I am. So Paul understands the fact that he has to get ready. So when God begins to move on his behalf, and we have to understand that God is still moving. He's always moving. He's always moving. He's always moving. We have to get ourselves in position and alignment where we're able to access and to tap in so that we can get the fresh download from heaven so that we will have everything that we need to be equipped for the good work for the season that he has to come. I want you, my brother and my sisters, if you are a part of this ministry, I spoke about it in our Bible study. We are getting ready for an upgrade, and we are God is doing some things in our lives that is allowing us to be prepared to get ready for the next season that he is about to get take us into. No, it may not be a season where you're going to have the house that you want or the car that you want or the job that you want or the friends that you want or the influence that you want. It may not be that season where you have monetary gain, but I just believe in my spirit and in my soul, and I believe that God is downloading things for me right now, that those things are a part of our process going into this next level. And we got to get ready for the upgrade that God is about to do in our lives, because there is coming a time where we are going to be required. My God, hey, Shandi, boy, I thought I was going to just teach on here, but I feel a spirit in myself that I believe that there is coming a time where God is requiring more of us, more. He's requiring more. He's not looking for those that are constantly trying to figure out their salvation. He's not looking for those that are constantly trying to grapple and grapple with sin. He's not looking for those, but he's requiring a people that will stand flat foot and say, for God I live and for God I die. I choose to live holy. I choose to live righteously. I choose to glorify God in my life. A body that thou hast prepared for me, and I have come to do thy will. Oh God, use me, Lord. Present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service. It's the least that I can do. Get your spirit ready for the upgrade. Get your soul ready for the upgrade. Get yourself in a position where you're no longer wrestling around if God has called you. Yes, God has called you. If he saved you, then he has called you. And you may not do the things that God has positioned or promised to other people, but you have to understand that you have to be effective in that which he has given you. You have to be effective in the very thing that God has anointed and graced for you to do. You may not be able to be the best singer, but that's all right. You may be the best intercessor. You may not be able to be the best preacher, but that's all right. Get ready for your own upgrade, because you may be the best worshiper, and God is requiring of you such as the body needs. Everybody has a part. Everybody has a purpose. Everybody has an assignment, and we got to do an assignment so that the kingdom of God can go forth, that God's grace and God's glory shall be revealed over this nation. And we do not have time to be stuck in the same season from last year, but we have to get ready to move forward into the next dispensation that God is requiring us to go. Let me go back, because I want to give you an understanding of the scripture that we read before in 2 Corinthians in the 3rd chapter. I want you to focus more so as we roll all the way down. I'm going to go into this. As we roll all the way down to the 18th verse, this is what I want you to get into your spirit. Is this, and it says, and I'm reading from a different version, it says, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. From one degree of glory to another. Here's the spirit that I want you to think about. Here's what I want you to understand. I want you to understand what upgrade means. I want you to get an understanding of what it means to upgrade. The definition of upgrade basically says this. It says to rise or raised to a higher standard, in particular, improve by adding or replacing components. To listen to what I'm saying, raise something to a higher standard, in particular, improve either equipment or machinery by adding or replacing components. All of us understand, should understand the idea of what an upgrade is. And I'm going to tell you how you know how what an upgrade is, because if we were to say, for example, hop into a time travel machine, and we go all the way back to the 1990s, and we look at the capacity of what was hot and trending at that time, which probably would have been cell phones. And maybe at that time, it wasn't the cell phones that we have today, but it was a cell phone that met the need or the purpose for the time that it was in. Listen to what I'm saying. But there was not much required of that time. So here it is, coming back in today's time frame. Many of you have an iPhone, iOS, whatever that system is, whatever it is, God bless you, God keep you, whatever the case may be. The system that you had 2 years ago probably will not operate efficiently in this particular season and this time. Matter of fact, I have an iPad. I have an older generation. I think it's the second generation iPad. But I'm limited on what I can do because the iPad has to be upgraded. So for me to do the podcast on there and do all these little fandangle stuff and to do all these different things and have these messages and all that stuff, there has to be an upgrade that needs to take place so that it can get rid of the old system and try to download the new system. Even if you don't have an Apple, you have an Android, you have to do a system upgrade so that anything that is messed up in your phone that cannot operate right now, it has to be removed. And so the new system that has been proven to make your device run faster and to give you more space has to be downloaded so that it can manage either what we are right now to what is to come. Matter of fact, I'm going to say this, and you can catch this in the spirit, is that sometimes if your device have or computer has been affected, if you had a virus on your computer and you cannot remove it yourself, sometimes you have to do a hard reboot and upgrade so that it can remove everything. And in that process, you're going to lose some files. You're going to lose some things, but you have to count it all lost because what you are trying to do and trying to gain is far more precious, valuable, and important than what you had. Hear it. Catch it in the spirit. So if there is a virus on your computer, you have to now do a defragment and breakdown. But what the system does, it'll go in there and take out anything that is infiltrating the system to get you to operate and to move, that's slowing it up, that's hindering the process. It's like the every digital stronghold and every digital toehold and every digital mind-blowing vain imagination, every digital thing that is hindering the process of what is ordained and designed to be, you have to do a defragment or do a complete restart and a reboot to get ready to for the next season. So what happens is when that restart reboot takes place, it pulls out pictures, it pulls out files, that are needed. It begins to discern, it begins to approve, it begins to see what the application is, if it's still valid. If it is not valid, it is destroyed, it is removed, it is wiped out, it is erased. Many times the virus is removed, wiped out, and erased in that same time. Whereas when the new uploaded software that comes in, you'll hear your computer just breathe. It'll be like, it'll breathe, it'll move, it'll shift. And then you have to restart. And then when you restart to try to bring it back up again, it has to download the new files and prepare everything and get ready, everything together. It has to, it says 1 minute, you'll see a little countdown on your computer where it says 20% of the files are loading, 30% of the files are loading, 45% of the files are loading. It's taking about 15 minutes. Then it'll count down from 15 minutes to 13 minutes. So in other words, the time is counting down while the files are increasing up. And once everything is completed, it then now shuts itself down and restarts all over again. And when it restarts all over again, sometimes you have to reload and reboot some of the programs that you had before. You have to put them back on there again. And as frustrating as it may be, say, for example, your phone, when you go from one phone to another, sometimes you'll lose contacts. My God. Think about that. Sometimes when you get a new phone, when it's time for you to upgrade, my God, when it's time for you to upgrade, sometimes you will lose some pictures and some apps and some contacts on your next phone. Some will come over, but some of them won't. Can't you catch that in the spirit? When God moves you from these next seasons, now I want you to look at this scripture. It is basically talking about, it's really talking about the old and the new covenant. It is talking about the laws of Moses and the fulfillment of those laws through Jesus Christ. Listen to what I'm saying. So in 2 Corinthians, and listen, and I'm going to get back to this. I'm going to go back to the phone. When you upgrade your phone to get a new phone, you don't operate the way, or your phone doesn't operate. It may be similar, but it's not operating the way that your older phone did. Especially, or interestingly enough, even if it is the same brand, like if you go from a Samsung Note 4 to a Samsung Note 7 or Samsung Note 8 or 10 or whatever the newest version is out there, or you go from an Apple 4 to an Apple X25352-9573, and Apple gets you because they'll have a new version coming out in the next 4 or 5 months when you just bought that newest version that you thought you had. But anyway, what happens is when it begins to progress up, you cannot operate the same way that you did before when it comes to your phone. The Bible tells us you cannot put fresh and new wine into old wineskins. You know why? Because the fresh and the new wine is more active. It's going to expand. And the old wineskins does not have the elasticity that the new wineskin does. So when God is going to downpour something into your soul, into your spirit, you cannot operate in the same manner as you have done before. You cannot, this and catch this, you cannot even have the same sphere or circle of association that you've had before. You know why? It's because of the fact of this. What God is about to display and to pour into you that he's already positioned you for, you cannot operate the same way, because what God is about to download into your soul, into your spirit, and what he's going to require for you to do, everybody can't do it. Everybody don't have the capacity. Matter of fact, everybody don't have the same operating system that God is putting you through to get it. So what that means is that sometimes, even though it may hurt, even though it may not make sense, even though it may not be convenient for you at the time, sometimes you are going to lose people when you are preparing yourself for the upgrade. Sometimes you are going to lose pictures, which is the vain imagination. In other words, pictures are a representation of what we have seen and memories past. So sometimes those vain imaginations, which let's categorize it as pictures of what you thought was, God presents to give you a new picture. So when you thought you looked like this in a certain season, I got a picture where I had a lot of hair in another season. Well, that's not the picture that I have to play now. So God takes that picture and move forward. Sometimes you got to change the picture of yourself. You are a used to be. Yes, you are a used to be, meaning you used to be that person in that last season, but now you have been changed, you have been moved, God has favored you, you have gone through some stuff, you have had to deal with some stuff, you had to check people with some stuff and check yourself with some stuff, and you are not the same person that you were before. You are preparing for the upgrade. And so we'll be fine in our text, as it talks about in 2 Corinthians, it talks about how Moses would go before the glory of God when he needed to get some type of release from the sins that the people did. He would go before the Lord, and there was a veil that Moses had to wear over his face because he could not look at the glory of God and contain it in his capacity. Because of the fact that the glory of the Lord was so great, so awesome, so powerful that no man could see God and live. So Moses, when he went up on the mountain, he had to have a veil over his face, and he only saw the shadow of God. God has upgraded us. Because at the time, which is the old law, when people were having to follow the Mosaic law from letter to letter and from right to right and things of that nature, they couldn't expand because their hearts were jacked up. They still wanted to do the things that they wanted to do, but yet they still wanted to keep the law. They wanted to be clean in the sense of physically clean, where their garments were clean, their hands were clean, they had these different rituals that they were, and they were in order, but their hearts were jacked up. So they were only able to process and do certain things at certain times, and they wasn't preparing themselves for the upgrade, which would have been Jesus Christ. So when Christ came on the scene and he rent the veil in half by dying on the cross, now those that are prepared for the upgrade have access to the law, have access to the word. We are fulfilling the law when we follow Christ. When we be more like him, we change. My God, listen to what I'm saying. So the Bible says, from glory to glory. You are being prepared for your upgrade. The more that you bow down and make the commitment to be more like Jesus Christ, you are being prepared for the upgrade. Because here's the thing. The closer that we come to him, which is Christ, is the closer that we come to God. And if we are in him, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, then we have the essence or the presence of the triune God operating inside of us. Whereas the ability and the capability of the things that we do, when God does something great, when God gives you a word, when God gives you a vision or whatever it is, and he begins to lay hands on you or equip you, and you begin to go to the hospital bed and you lay hands on the sick and recover, it is not you that is doing it, but it is a triune operation of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in operation on you, and it is moving through you. You're just a vessel. You are preparing yourself for the download of whatever spirit or whatever thing, whatever it is that it is, you are being prepared for that download so that it can be displayed and dispensed through you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has allowed me to lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Allow to set the captives free. That's what that scripture is talking about. Is when the Spirit of God begins to fall down upon you, that's where the download comes in. That's where the upgrade is. Because you're now no longer that person or the whoremonger that you were before. You're not that person that would drink in the club. You're not that person that would lie, steal, and cheat. You're not that person anymore. But you have been cleaned and been processed and been ready or being prepared for the next level of your life. The next level where God wants to move you. The next level of where he's going to use you in a great capacity. When the Spirit of the Lord pours out upon the sons and the daughter, and they will prophesy, and they will dreams, and they would declare, and that is the level and the season where we have to get ourselves into. This world has been jacked up, changed, and flipped completely upside down, and people are looking for the sons and daughters of God to rise up and to do things and display the glory of God on this earth. So we do not have time to sit there and to be wrestling around with our salvation. We don't have time to figure out if God has called us. We don't have time if God is speaking to us. We don't have time as well, I don't want to fast right now. I don't want to do this. I don't want to pray this. Even myself included. We do not have time because we got to prepare ourselves for the outpouring of God in this season. And it does not matter what your capabilities are. God is going to use you in the place that he needs to use you in. He's going to use you in your passion. He's going to use you in your glory. He's going to use you in the thing that you are frustrated in. He's going to use you. He's going to equip you. But you got to make sure you're getting prepared for the upgrade. What does that mean? We have to, sons and daughters of God, we have to move ourselves closer to Jesus Christ more and more each day. It's going to require for you to change even the outlook and the mindset of your life. And you are now required to think of yourself in a different capacity. You can't no longer think of yourself as what you were and what people have thought about you, but you have to understand and know and think of yourself as God has spoken about you in the Word. It is time for us to walk into the Word that God has already spoken over our lives. Yes, He has called you to be a prophet. Yes, He has called you to be a pastor. Yes, He has called you to be an evangelist. Yes, He has called you to be an apostle. Yes, He has called you to be a teacher. The fivefold gifting is in operation in people's lives, and it is now time for us to walk into the very essence of what He has called. Now, the fivefold gifting is not the only gifting that God has. There are certain other spiritual gifts that He has that He desires to dispense on the people. The spirit of, and I'm going to name a few of them as I remember, is going to be the spirit of helps, where you're able to go out and meet the needs of people and begin to have compassion over them and begin to provide things for them. The spirit of order, where you begin to organize things and all these different things and getting things in order for the advancement and the move of God. So there is a place for you in this work. There's a place for you in this kingdom. You got to get yourself ready for this upgrade, because God is about to come quick, fast, and in a hurry. And what we do for Him is the only thing that's going to last. Don't matter if you build 100 people and make that 100 people 1,000 people. If they are not disciples, then all you did was just created an association. It doesn't matter if you sing so beautiful that everybody loves to hear you sing, but if it's not convicting them and giving glory to the Father, you just sound good. You have to get into the place where we are operating into the things that God has ordained for us to do. And I do believe that many of us are stuck. And when I said it, the door of salvation, and what I mean by the door of salvation, is just the opportunity for many of God's sons and daughters to not only be reconciled, but to be cleansed. But what happens is, because of just their own concepts and the own insecurities, and the trick of the enemy, that Satan begins to keep people at that place where they're constantly dealing with the same spirits, dealing with the same things, dealing with the same thorns, or I'll say like this, the struggles over and over again. When we have the power to move from this thing, to move from a place where, yes, we come into a place of repentance, we are sorrowful, we give God our life, we tell God, teach us, guide us, and lead us in the way that we may grow from Him and that we'll be able to not do those things again. We get stuck, or some get stuck in that place, because we're not doing the things that God gave us to be able to move from that door of salvation and walk to the path that He has. He says, order thy steps. That's what He talks about in the scripture. Order my steps. We sing the song, order my steps in your way, dear Lord. Lead me, guide me every day. Send your anointing, Father, I pray. What am I? We sing the song, but when God begins to say, hey, I want you to spend 15 minutes just reading this word. And 15 minutes go by, and we're like, oh, I can't. Oh, man. What's going on TV? That's when God begins to say, hey, I need to lead and guide you. I need you to hear I need you to hear that voice. Samuel. Perfect example of Samuel. As you read on, and if you ever go into the reading of 1 and 2 Samuel, when you read about Samuel, Samuel was laying down and he was making sure the lights and everything was on in the temple, and he heard the voice of God. And so him not necessarily knowing or learning God at that time, he went to the priest and thought the priest had called him. No. And he could have left it at that. You ain't call me? All right, I'm going to go back to sleep. Forget it. God called him again. He got up and he began to move. He said, okay, let me figure out what this is. And the priest told him, say, hey, when God begins to speak to you, just answer and say, here I am, Lord. And he must be God talking to you, because I ain't calling you. You're getting on my nerves, getting sleeping. You must be God talking. So you go talk to the Lord. Just ask God, hey. So it happened again. Samuel got up. And this time he was obedient to what he was instructed to do. And when he did, when he answered the call of God, God began to tell him about his assignment or what he is requiring of him to do. As much as he hated it, he was requiring of him to do. And that was to speak to Eli and bring warning and bring correction and bring a word that God has spoken to them. But if Samuel was wrestling around his insecurity, if he was wrestling around with, I don't know if I hear you, is it you, God? Even though I told you, speak, Lord, that servant hear me, and I kind of feel it in my spirit that it's you speaking. If he wrestled around with that, then he would have never walked into what he is. See, I want you to understand this. When God begins to lead us to say, hey, I need you to pray, I need you to fast, I need you to do these things, he is actually training us to be sensitive to the move of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will bring back all things to our remembrance. He is training us to do these things. And the more that we become closer and trained to him, here's what takes place. There is a transference of the power of God into our spirits, and it actually operates in our lives. So that's why we have to read. That's why we have to fast. That's why we have to, you know, to worship. That's why we have to do all these things. That's why we have to study ourselves to show that's approved. And I'm going to tell you why, because we are training our spirits to get ready for what God is about to do. But not only are we training our spirits to get ready for what God is about to do, it also takes us from our place of where we were caught up in temptation and sin because our focus was so strong in our flesh, but it begins to kill our flesh so that we'll be able to walk in the spirit. Get ready for your upgrade. Get ready for God to move and do something in your life. I know that you have been through some things. That's why I know that God desires to upgrade you, because the season of where you are right now, God is going to download something that's going to take you into this next season. You have been faithful for the things that you have already been through right now. You have been holding on to God's unchanging hand. You have been coming on these podcasts and just wanting to hear a word from God, even though you may not have been doing it perfectly, but you are still, you haven't lost your faith. You haven't lost. Yeah, I know it's been a struggle and some things have hit your way, but you are still standing, and God is going to now give you an upgrade. I just feel it in my spirit. Sometimes you have to lose in order to gain what he's about to give to you. Sometimes you have to be criticized and ostracized so that God can confirm you again, and that the people will know that it's you that I'm called. It's you that I'm talking about. It's you that I promised. It's you that's going to do these things. Sometimes the very same people that will talk about you, ridicule you, and accuse you and do all these things, when God, you just stay constant, stay in your download mode, stay fresh, stay fervent, because God is upgrading you. You stay in that place where God has called you, because when it all flips around, you're going to be the one that is equipped to carry them to where they need to do so they can get back into their place. There's no time we don't have no time for hangups and qualms and that person is beneath me and that person, they hurt me and I'm waiting for, we don't have time for no apologies. We just have to go into the grace and favor of God and allow God to do what he has already promised in his word to do. Come on and give God praise, give him glory for everything that he has. I hope that you I am excited about this. I am excited about what God is about to do in your life. I am so excited. I believe that God is teaching you and training. See, we have to understand that Romans 8 and 28 thing, that thing is real. All things work together for them, for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So even when things seem to be bad, they're still working out for the good. It's a part of the upgrade process where God is going to do for your life, is that he has to allow you to go through a particular test so that you can have a testimony. He's going to allow you to be tried so that trials and weights and pressures and pains that we have, it won't even compare to the weight of glory that he's about to download on your life. But we got to move. We got to lean forward. We got to love. We got to stand strong. We got to make sure that we are constantly listening to the voice of God. We have to check our hearts, our spirits, our minds, and our soul. We have to make sure that when God requires of us, we have to be ready. When God desires to fellowship with us in that cool of the day, just like it did in Genesis, we can't have nothing that's going to separate us from him. Because when we come into his presence, there should be, you know, when we worship, basically, When we worship, we must worship him in spirit and truth. That means that we can't have anything that we're hidden so us to effectively worship him. So just like with Adam and Eve in the garden, at that time, sin crept in and they considered themselves to be indecent in God's sight. When he was seeing them naked anyway, he saw the blemishes, the little bit of waffle fat that was on the side of Eve's thigh and Jacob's thigh. He saw the love handles that, you know, that Adam had. He saw all that stuff and he ain't had no problems with all that stuff. He's like, hey, y'all were naked before? Hey, come on. Let's talk. Let's fellowship. I loved you anyway because you're my creation. I get to see you in how I created you without anything hindering. So me as the creator, says God, me as the creator, I see you done cut yourself. Let me fix that. So like he did when he saw that there was something that was blocking them from him, he began to clothe them in the lambskin by offering a sacrifice and clothing them so they can now come into the presence. But that there came with the consequence. My brother, my sister, let us keep our hearts pure. Let not iniquity keep us from the presence of God. Let not your sins keep you from the presence of God. If you have sinned, you have the ability to go through the Father. We have a high priest that has not been touched from the feelings of our infirmity. It means that he knows exactly what we have gone through. He knows, and he's there waiting and making intercession on our behalf. He's looking at them and says, okay, God, I know that they're messed up in this little situation, but God, my blood covered that. My blood that I died, that you recognized, that you loved, that you felt was precious, that same blood is the same blood that we covered them with. So don't see them, see the blood and see the righteousness and have grace and mercy that they can get back into that place. Because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit and I'm going to convict them and they're going to come back into this place and they will serve you. That's what we have to do. Amen. Gracious and Heavenly Father God, I thank you for this time in your presence. And Lord God, I pray that, Lord God, that anyone that's on the sound of my voice on this podcast, I pray, God, that their spirits have been quickened and have been changed. I pray, Lord, that, God, that you have moved on their behalf, that you have changed the thought process, the thought pattern of their lives. I pray, God, that, God, as they begin to avail themselves and open themselves up, God, that, Lord God, that you'll begin to do a defragment in our spirit. And anything that is not pleasing, any virus that is there in our souls, in our lives, that is not conducive for this next season, Lord God, we avail ourselves to you now. We ask you to remove it from us. We ask you to remove it from our hearts, remove it from our minds, remove it from our soul. God, those spoken sins that we know about that we did, but Lord, also those transgressions that we didn't pay a lot of attention to, the things that we may have saw that we should not have saw. God, remove that stuff. That, God, we may be pure before you. And Father God, if there be anyone that knows you, I pray, God, that you give them the ability and the courage to change their life. And if there is one that desires to know you as your personal Savior, knowing Christ as a personal Savior, doesn't want to know what we speak of when we say that the blood has covered them and forgiven them, then I ask God, and I ask my brothers and my sisters to join me in this prayer. Father, I am a sinner. I know that you are the Son of the living God that has died for my sins. When you were on the cross, you died for my sins and you taken my sin and placed it on the cross so that I may have an opportunity to have everlasting life. And just like they crucified you and killed you and buried you in a tomb, you rose up with all power, glory, and authority in your hands. That you won the battle over death and life, and you found victory in you for eternal life. God, I pray that you accept me and forgive me of my sins. I make you my Lord, and I make you my Savior. Come into my life. Teach me your ways, God. Show me when I make mistakes how to not continually to make them. And Lord God, I come right now in the blood of Jesus Christ, and I cancel every assignment that the enemy has tried, every plot and every plan that he's tried over my life, every trap and every snare, we break it now. For whom you have set free is free indeed. Teach me thy ways, O God. Teach me how to walk. Reveal to me and show me who and where I should go, that I may grow in my walk of holiness. If that is any one of you that have accepted Christ as your personal Savior, welcome to the kingdom of God. Today is the best day and the first day of the rest of your life. And I am so grateful because heaven is smiling upon you and it is rejoicing that you have given your life over to Christ. And if we here at Restoring the Remnant Ministries and Restoring the Remnant, Remnant Radio, we welcome you to the body of Christ. I encourage you to find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church or some type of format that you're able to grow in God. If you do not know of one or can't find one, you are always welcome to join us in our fellowship. We have our fellowships right now because of the COVID-19 situation on podcast. Sometimes you may have it on Zoom. However, you can always go to our website on rtrmi.org and get all the information that you need about how to connect with us. My name is Pastor Robert J. Douglas, and I am the proud servant leader of a great bunch of people that have a love to just display the glory and the love and the power of Jesus Christ. And we welcome you into that body. So right now, just go ahead and just praise God because he has changed, he has shifted, and he has moved on your behalf. Give him honor and give him grace because you now are victorious. Come on, you can praise him. You can give him glory. You have the right and you have a reason to praise God because this is the season where God is about to download something great over your life. You have been prepared for this next upgrade. You have been prepared for everything that God is doing. And I believe God is going to send some words to you. God is going to show you his power and his glory. Watch and see the move of God over your life. Do not be afraid. Do not be ashamed. Don't ever be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't ever be ashamed of how he will move and lead and guide you. You are not forsaken, but you are forgiven. And I just want to share with you that I know, I believe God has moved in your life. I believe that you have been healed. You have been delivered. But I also believe that this day right here, this day, you have been restored. You have a blessed day. You have a great rest of your week. God is going to favor you. May heaven smile upon you. But for till next time, this is Pastor B signing out. Be blessed.